It's really great to be with you, and I just want to thank Pastor Aaron, Denise, for your warm welcome to us. And you know, we're just amazed at what yous are doing here, staggered at your faith. And you know, already, me and Fiona have already been blessed here. And thank you for your hospitality and your friendship. You know, we just see your heart. It's just amazing. I think you've got more compassion than you know. And it's great to be here with you and just sense God's presence. And, you know, God's got more in his heart for us than we can even think or imagine. You know, it's about receiving. You know, I mean, that was a nice song, God, we want more of you. And to be honest with you, you know, he's like, I'll give you as much as you want, but I want more of you. I'll take more of you. It's the capacity of this love. And he's got a plan and purpose for every single one of us. God is not playing hide and seek. He's not, we don't get saved and then he hides and goes, try and guess what the rest of your life is about. He's a God who speaks. He's a God who guides. He's a God who talks. He's a God who's near. He's looking for relationship. And the gospel today has been turned into principles. Nothing more than 12 steps how to have a, you know, a relationship with God. You don't need steps for a relationship with God. I'm not a stepson. I'm adopted. I can go anytime I want. I can run anytime I want. I can go on my good days, my bad days. I don't need to get steps to get close to God. He's a father. And if he's a father, then there's open arms and there's an open heart. And he says, just come as you are. And sometimes we try and get ourselves prepared to come to God. God's like, I've already done it. I've already done the work. I've made a path. I've given you access into my presence. We've got steps how to build a big church, steps how to do this, how to do that, how to. This is not about a how to. This is about a somebody. This is about a relationship. Not how to. How to build a church. What does that mean? I don't need to know how to build a church. He said, I will build my church. Are you just available to be my help? I'll do that. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail. And so God is on a mission. He's building his church. Don't worry about what your eyes see. The world's in a mess at the moment. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of that hitting families and lives. Anxiety and fear of the future. Fear of this, fear of that. And we've seen it as we've traveled. I've been in ministry 28 years. My wife, Fiona, was the programs director in Teen Challenge. She'd worked in that ministry for 28 years. I'd traveled as an evangelist and pastoring churches. I've been in big churches, I've been in small churches. And just a couple of months ago, not long ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, God called the both of us and he said, will you follow me? And I said, I am following you. And then I heard a voice, will you follow me? I said, I am following you. I've done it for 28 years. He said, will you follow me? I said, I'll follow you. Just tell me where. And he said, the disciples never asked where. They just followed me. And he said, will you follow me? And I said, yes. And I had a lovely church. We lived in a lovely house. And he said, I want you to sell everything and follow me. We sold the house. We sold the cars. My wife left Teen Challenge. You know, I left the church, and we've been traveling in different bits of the world, strengthening the church wherever he's opened doors. It's been fantastic. We've incredible peace. We've not lost a night's sleep. There's no guilt, no regret, nothing. It's been absolutely wonderful to be able to do that for God, especially at this age. you know, many waited till we were older. But it's been a joy to just follow God and just serve him. And, you know, I didn't know when I said that I would be here this morning in America in this church. It's amazing how God, if you just say yes to him, you know, I can't say you'll have an easy life, but you'll certainly have an exciting one. I want to just speak to you just for maybe half an hour on the book of Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah's an amazing book, and Nehemiah's an amazing man. Anything God's going to do, which is incredible, anything God's going to do, he's going to find a man or a woman and give them a burden. Anything God's going to do, it comes through a quickening of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the spirit of a man or a denomination. He's the Spirit of God. And he's looking for people to come into and use for his glory and for his purpose. And Nehemiah, the Bible says he was a cupbearer to the king. That was an important job. And he served in a great job. And he heard about Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in a mess. All the walls were broken down. The enemy was coming in and out. And the people were devastated. And Nehemiah got a burden from God to go and help this city that was so broken down. People were so weary and so tired and so battle-weary. And God called Nehemiah, and he went to the king. And it's amazing. He prayed and asked the king, and the king gave him favor. And the king said, you can go. And he says, king, well, you know, will you make provision for me? And the king gave him provision. And the king gave him protection. And I want to tell you, we've got a better king than that. We've got a king that when he sends you, he'll protect you. And he'll give you all the provision you need for the call that he's put on our life. I'm not looking to man. I'm not looking to a government. I'm not looking to here. I'm not looking to there. If God's got a call on your life, if God's sending you, if God's doing something, then God's going to provide everything you need for the journey that he puts you on. As soon as you move towards God, make any move towards doing something for God, and I can guarantee you, I'm the preacher of good news this morning. All hell will let loose in your life if you make a move towards Jesus Christ. I remember, you know, a lot of people are preaching, if you just come to Jesus, all your problems will be away. I'm telling you, I don't know what gospel they're preaching, but it's not the one I read about. God never promised that. He said, you know, you're going to get persecuted, you're going to be misunderstood, but I will be with you. You see, the whole point of the Christian life is this. The Christian life is full of battles. But victory is not the absence of pain or battles. It's in spite of it. That's what gives the church a testimony. We shouldn't be standing. You shouldn't have made it. You shouldn't have got this far. But you did. You shouldn't be singing this morning. You shouldn't be lifting your hands, you know, in that depression. You should have been down and out for months or weeks or years. But you've got a testimony of the power of God, of the power of the Holy Spirit, of the power of God's word. The reason I'm standing is because he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. This is about a testimony for God. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah is a man, and he goes to move and work for God. And God asks him to rebuild the wall. And as you move towards God, as I said, all hell will let loose. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Now, the devil is totally defeated. But he comes to intimidate. He's a father of lies. He'll whisper in your ear. He came to destroy and kill and disturb your peace that we have in Christ. So Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem and he starts to build the wall. And straight away in Nehemiah chapter 4, it says this, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burnt as they are? Toba and Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even if a fox jumps on the wall, it will fall down. Straight away, as soon as you start a work for God, the enemy is a voice in our nation. It's like Goliath taunting the armies of the living God. And here is a voice. He's starting to build the wall, and this is what he said. He starts to ridicule them. In the presence, there's a voice that starts to ridicule us. He starts to ridicule us and he calls you feeble. What are these feeble Christians doing? Call yourself an army. Have you seen that bunch of people up there in that church? Do you know about their lives? They're the foolish things in the world. They're nobodies. They've nothing. They've no talent, no nothing. And the Bible says God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And this is what it said, these feeble Jews. And you know, the devil wants to stop them before they even start, because it's better to kill a seed than fight a harvest. See, it's always been about the seed. That's when God's word is getting through out and the seed is being thrown. The devil's like, get up to that church. Get up there where that man is preaching, that Scottish preacher. Don't let the seed land in people's hearts. Don't let hope come in. If I can get the seed, I'll kill a harvest. Because if the seed gets in, if somebody starts to believe what God says he can do, you're going to have a mighty church. You're going to have a victorious church. You're going to have an overcoming church. You see, you can't stand the seed. It's the seed. She said, I'm going to stop you before you start. I'm going to take you down before you even start to do what God has asked you to do. You see, discouragement is powerful. Discouragement means to come in and take the fight out of you. And even before he starts, he said, even if a fox jumps on that. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know how strong we are in God? Do you know how powerful God has put his spirit in us? And sometimes the enemy makes you feel like you're standing on quicksand. Everything's going to fall. You're a fool. Look what you've done. God's name's going to be dishonored. He said, even if a fox jumps on that, I'm going to stop you before you start. I'm going to make you feel vulnerable. I'm going to get your confidence. And I'm going to take the guts out of you. Because if you start to believe this stuff, you're going to start building something. God's going to start moving. And right away, it's like David. It says in 2 Samuel 5, 17, when David was anointed, the Philistines were raging in anger because they knew God was anointing them. God was anointing them for a purpose. And the Philistines were raging. As soon as God puts his hands on you, I'm telling you, all hell is going to let loose. And Nehemiah said, they came up against him. Thank you. Nehemiah came up against him. And verse 4 says this. And this is what Nehemiah done. When he heard all these words, you know, you're weak, you're frail. A fox going to jump on that wall. Verse 4, Nehemiah said, hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn our insults back on them. Nehemiah doesn't start fighting with the enemy. He doesn't start coming against them and shouting back down at them, because that gets you involved and that gets you involved in the work. That distracts you. He turns round. He says, I know exactly how to deal with this opposition. He turns and he talks to God and he starts to tell God. He says, God, you're great. You're absolutely awesome. Nothing's too difficult for thee, God. He's not even talking to the enemy. I'm not even going to give him the time of day. He starts turning around and he says, God, I've got these old stones in my hand and I've got a trowel in this hand and we're going to start building. And he starts putting one brick on top of another and he starts building and he starts praying and he starts talking to God. You know, sometimes we give the enemy too much space in our head and you need to say, this is rent free. You're getting rent in my head no more. The best thing for me to do today is not stand and talk to you and win you with an argument and start to talk to you about, oh, you don't call me this, you called me that. Why don't you talk to him who is mighty and able to give you the power to overcome every weapon? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. What a savior. What a God we serve. What a God. You might be saying, are you getting excited? I am excited. We had no power to deliver ourselves. We had no power to set ourselves free. We have no power to keep ourselves. And we have no power to get ourselves home. That's why I'm going to praise him. That's why I'm going to exalt him. That's why I'm going to pray him. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. What a savior. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. To the King of glory, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Nehemiah said, no, I'm not going to even give you the time of day. Starts to pray. And he starts to talk to God. And then it says in verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all of their heart. You see, the enemy never got under their skin. He said, the people worked with all their heart. Here was opposition coming against them. Here was ridicule coming against them. Here was persecution. Here was the voice of an enemy. And Nehemiah started to pray. And then it says in verse 21, so we continued with the work with half of the men holding spears from the first light of dawn until the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so that they can serve us and guard by night and by day. Neither I nor our brothers, nor men, nor guards. We didn't even take off our clothes. Each one had his weapon at his side. You see, the church, as much as it is a place of healing, it needs to be a place, it's an army. You have to know how to keep rank. You need to know your position at the wall. It says in Nehemiah, and next to him was, and next to him was, and next to him was. Just keep your rank. If you're a private, if you're a soldier and you're in the ditches, be the best private in the church. If you're a doorman, be the best doorman. If you're a Sunday school teacher, don't be what you're not, but stand your ground, take your position and say, man, I'm going to be the best soldier there is. If you're a captain, be the best captain. If you're a general, be a general. Whatever gift God's give you, but hold your position. Yes. Hold where you are ranked and be the best you are where God places you, because that's where your power is. That's where you're going to bless people. That's where you're going to help people. And then Nehemiah said this, therefore, I stationed people behind the lowest parts of the wall. Verse 14, after I looked these things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your homes. See, if you keep your position, and we all stand together, building this thing that God has asked us to do, he's saying, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters. Friends, this is not even about us. This is about another generation that need to see that God can build something in the midst of an opposition, in the midst of political correctness, in the midst of all that nonsense, that there's a God who can build in the enemy's camp. He can set the captives free. Hallelujah. This is not about the opposition. This is about the power of God for your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. This is about fighting for another generation. It's not about us. There's a generation out there who need to see, in spite of opposition and all hell letting loose, God can still build a great church for a community, and they can say, there must be a God. Why is he still standing? Why is she still singing? How did they come through? And we get a testimony because God strengthened their hands. Don't be afraid. Don't cave in and keep going. Chapter 6, it's amazing what God starts to do. In chapter 6, 1 and 2, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobah, Geshem, and Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it. Through up to that time, I had not set the doors and the gates. Sanballat, Geshem, listen to this. They sent me a message. Listen to the devil's tactics. Listen to the new tactics. First, he ridicules you. Then he whispers, makes you feel like quicksand. Then he tells you, look, you're nothing. Look how you lived this week. You've got a cheek to call yourself a Christian. And Nehemiah said, we're not having it. But listen to what he says next. Sanballat came, let us meet together in one of the villages But they were scheming to harm me. See, he's changing his tactics. So I sent a message to them. I sent a message to them with this reply. I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Four times they came to me. Four times the enemy was coming and coming and coming with a message. It's a message from the devil. Why don't you stop the work? Why don't you just come down? Why don't you come down now? Just come down. He sent that message. Lies and discouragement. Listen to what Nehemiah says in verse 9. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking our hands would get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. Look what he said. But I prayed, now God strengthen our hands. There he goes, he's praying again. I sent this message. I'm not coming down. Tell the Sunday school teachers, pastor, leaders, people on the congregation, tell the enemy, you can throw what you want at us, but I am not coming down. I'm involved in a great work up here. Hallelujah. We're fighting for our sons. We're fighting for our daughters. We're fighting for the drug addict, the homeless, the broken, for those who have no voice. We will not come down. I'm in a great work up here. Hallelujah. They tried fear. They tried intimidation. They tried lies. They've done everything to take you out and discourage you. But I want you to send a message back to the devil by all the humility, by all the power of God. I'm not coming down. You're not getting my marriage. You're not getting my family. You're not getting my son. You're not getting my church. You're not getting anything. I'm not coming down. I'm involved in a great work up here. Hallelujah. What a God. I know there's people sitting here, you've been battle weary. There's screams and cries in you that nobody even hears. But he does this morning. And the Spirit is coming. And he's whispering into your heart, son. And he knows your name. And he's saying, son, some of you are about to throw the towel in. Some of you are saying, I've had enough, and people don't even know it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, he's coming alongside you. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he whispers in your ear, you're nothing, you're no good, your preaching's not even great, your Bible study was rotten, your life is rotten, your prayer life's rotten, and he condemns you, and you feel condemned, and your heart feels condemned. The Holy Spirit says, I want to remind you something. God is greater than even your own heart. Do you know his heart this morning? Never mind your heart. I love you. I called you. And he who started a good work in you, just like Nehemiah, he started the work and he's going to finish it in your life. Hallelujah. Nothing can take you out. Philippians 1:6. He who started a good work in you, he's going to finish it. And it all starts off with a voice. You see, you are not meant to listen to yourself. You're meant to talk to yourself. And there's a big difference. What voice has got your ear? See, that's what Goliath did. Taunting. It's a voice. And it's not, you're not fighting flesh and blood. This was a normal voice. It can come through an old or a young. A voice can come out of somebody and it can be like a piercing knife in your heart. A voice of discouragement. A voice that brings fear. This is not the voice of a man. It does not belong to this world. What was coming through these men in Nehemiah's time? was not the voice of flesh and blood. It was demonic. And it was saying, Nehemiah, I'm going to take you out and your family and your church and what you're doing for God. These stones, this pile of heap, rubbish, you're not going to even be able to use them. They're so bad, so broken. That voice. And I want to finish with this. In Mark 15, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is being crucified. Mark 15 and verse 25 to 30. It was on the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice in charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers beside him, one on the right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days?" Listen to the voice. "Come down from the cross and save yourself." Come down. This was the devil's last throw. He tried it before with Peter, when Peter took Jesus aside and said, "No, this mustn't happen." But God knew the voice behind the voice and went beyond it and said, "Satan, get behind me. You tried to stop me there from my destiny and going to the cross. And here's the devil right under the cross. The blood of Christ is everywhere. The Savior is at his weakest. And he's there suffering for you and me. And he says, come down. And he says, I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm doing a great work up here. If I come down, there would be no Jay Fallon. There would be no addict who got set free. No prostitute who felt like a woman. No church would be built. No blind would be seen. No lame would walk. No sin could be forgiven. People would be walking carrying guilt and shame and regret and end up in a lost eternity. Oh no, I will come down and I rise again, but I'm not coming down until I say, it is finished. Hallelujah. If you're the Son of God, come down. He never even talked to the voice. He never even wavered his head. In fact, even then, when a man next to him said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," not a sinner's prayer, not filling in a form, nothing. And even then, with blood in his eyes and the enemy shouting, "Come down," he turns and said, "I heard your voice. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You are why I came, and I'm not coming down." No forgiveness, no joy, no hope. I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work up here. Calvary, what a work for you and me. For the joy that was set before him. Do you know what his joy was? You. Save yourself. No. I'm saving them. And by the way, Nehemiah completed the wall in 52 days and said it's finished. And under the cross, that horrible, wicked voice again looks at him at his weakness. He's battered and bruised and marred more than any other man. And if ever there was a time he thought, "I'll get you now," here's the devil's last throw to kill the seed that was told about in Genesis. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. I'll give one last throw to get this seed. If you're the Son of God, are you sure you're the Son of God? God would let you go through this? Are you sure? You're mad. come down. The champion of heaven. The prophecy fulfilled. I'm about to destroy every principality and power and every lie and every bondage, every chain the devil made. In just about 3 days from now, I'll be back and I'm going to bust every chain and every hell door open. I'm going to take all the principalities and powers and I'm going to make a laughing stock of them, and I'm going to take the sins of the world and I'm going to nail it to the cross. I am not coming down. Father, I'm involved in a great work. Church, look at us. Not many noble. There might be a few who's great and talented and wise. Look at us. I mean, look at us. I mean, I can see you and you can see me and you think, God, did you get this right? Absolutely. And he said, I'm going to take this bunch of people here in this church, a new work that's starting. A new work that's developing. It's no wonder sometimes you feel you're going through it. Aaron, don't come down. We are not of those who shrink back. We have put our hand to the plow. Live or die. All those stones of rubble. We don't build walls now, stones of rubble. Those stones of rubble are now people who are broken beyond a doctor's help, beyond a psychiatrist's help. But we know one who's done a great work. We know one who has great power. We know one whose voice goes into graves and says, Lazarus, come forth. We have one with a voice that can reach any place, any time and anywhere. We have one who knows where our sons and daughters are, and maybe we don't, but we can pray and he can take his voice over the winds of even to a different country and bring conviction and snap chains and bring them home. In fact, a man said to Jesus once, you don't even need to come to the house, just speak the word. And by the time he got there, the servant was free. No hands was laid on him. Nobody was shouting. Just God's word. Yes. Who's going to believe the word this morning? Who's going to believe that he still fills with the Spirit, that he still fills with love, that he still sets the captive free because he's done a great work? Hallelujah. And there's thousands of pastors, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, a lot of people who were once on fire on the hard shoulders of life. So this is not a game you're in. This is a war. You're not fighting principality. You're fighting principality and powers. I know pastors who are sitting now baking cakes who should be preaching because they came down. They had one blow too many. So don't think it can happen. And don't think it's us. In him. In him we live and move and have our being and abiding. Without you, I can do nothing. All power, all authority comes out of being with him. And you can be. With him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 10, I won't go through it all, but he says we're hard pressed on every side. Crushed, but not down. He goes through this whole list of things, and by the end of it, he's still standing. Because he has done a great work. It's just amazing what God can do. Be bold today. There is many lives that your life is going to touch. And that's why, and listen, we need our soul restored. But so much what's done in the church today is soulish and not spiritual. It needs to move from one to the other eventually. I think I will read that out because I've got 5 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. Do you know what that means? God, I haven't got a clue what you're doing, but I trust you immensely. Oh, I get nervous with somebody who just knows everything all the time. All the answers. Paul said, I'm perplexed. I don't know what you're doing. I've been beaten, I've been battered, I've been stoned. But when I can't trace your hand, I'm going to trust your heart. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then he bowed his head and said, it is finished. Tetelestai. Everything. This is what he said. No, everything for your life. Tetelestai means this. This is the finished work of Calvary. And it's been paid in full. All your debt. You now have my righteousness. You now have my righteousness. And you can have a perfect relationship with me because I've done a great work. David said in the Psalms, Lord, your works have made me glad. Because when I fail, you don't. When I'm unfaithful, you remain faithful. So church, this church here, I implore you. I know it's not easy. Stand together. Work together and have this resolution in your heart. We're not coming down. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the worship team or the piano player to come back just for a minute and play something for me, just musically. You know, there's people here, you are crushed, you are down, and you have no strength. And the first thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. Your own strength will fail you. We all know that, right? I think most people here know that eventually your own strength and I shall not be moved and we'll make it through the night and we're going to be successful. And thank God for that tenacity. But eventually something comes in, it's just too big for you. One day you wake up, you've got a lump in your breast, and you think, well, I can't fix that. You get a phone call. You say, well, I can't fix that. So the first thing you need to do is surrender your life to Christ to live this victorious life. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you might not be a Christian and you might not understand everything today, but in your heart you're saying, I know there's something here. I heard the testimonies before. I'd like to be my life to have a purpose in God. I've got something bigger than me. I need God. Maybe you're a young person here and you're brought up in a Christian home and you personally have never said, I've never invited Jesus into my life. I want to date this morning. There's been a lot of prayer this morning and time has went. And I don't want to keep you because I know you've got children to get and life is life. But I think it would be good for me to, I'm not going to pray, but to open up this altar and say, for those people who have cries in their hearts of something, you think, God, I'm going to stand here and I'm closing the gaps in the wall of my life where the enemy just can't come in and out and just play games with me every day. I'm closing them up today and I'm coming before you and I'm going to stand in, like Nehemiah did, and I'm just going to talk to you, Father. I'm going to ask you to close these areas up where the enemy's coming in because I want to be able to stand, and when I've done everything to stand, I want to stand. So can you close your eyes for a moment? If you've never given your life to Jesus and you would like to, would you just lift your hand right now? I'm just going to pray for you. If there's nobody, it's fine, but if there is, I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? God bless you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I don't really know, to be honest with you, how I was going to land this with an altar call. But somehow I feel there might be somebody, people here, and like those stones, you know, they're not quite finished yet. And you say, God, I've been giving the enemy far too much ground in my heart and life. I'm just going to come and talk to you about something in my life where the enemy is just playing games. I want to talk to you who are married and there's tension in it and the enemy's trying to come in. I want, husbands, get your wife by the hand and say, love, we are going to pray today. And we're going to fight for our children. We're going to fight. We're closing all the gaps. And we're going to, because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So just for a minute, don't be embarrassed. We're only going to take 2 or 3 minutes for you to stand, talk to God, and then we're going to hand it back to the pastor. If that's you, why don't you come forward now and just stand here and you talk to God this morning. Come on, come. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Don't let title, don't let any. Come. Come on, come. Don't come down. Don't come down. Come. Come this morning. You're not talking to me. I want you to talk to him. I'm not going to even lay hands on you. I want you to, Nehemiah, talk to him. You're talking to your God. You have as much access as anybody here. Can everybody take 2 steps forward? Because there's people coming. Just come right up to this altar. Thank you. And it's okay to cry. We're family. Let the dam burst. God can't change what we pretend to be. He loves us so much. Is there anybody else before this altar, before I pray?